We are talking about great front women in rock and roll history. Now, I'm looking at this article, and the listing, Dan, is women who are fronting bands.
That is correct.
So it's not solo performances, but we can include women who are, you know, like solo performers, not leading a band.
Sure.
Because, you know, people are going to wonder why I don't mention Pat Benatar. You know what I mean? But she wasn't in a band. She's Pat Benatar. Right. She's a single act. But you can mention just cool rock chicks in general. We'll start off with the great front women in rock and roll and the bands that they fronted. But if you want to jump in with someone like Pat Benatar, who rules. Hey, you know who opened for Pat Benatar in the early 80s when I saw him?
Mick Derringer?
No. Saga.
Oh, there you go.
Saga opened for Pat Benatar. I want to say it was for Precious Time, for the album Precious Time. And at that point, I'd already seen them open up, because the first time I ever saw them was when they opened up for Tull. Jethro Tull was the first time I ever saw Saga, and I was completely insane over them. So I had known them, and so they were the opening act when I saw Pat Benatar. One of the many times. I've seen Pat Benatar many times. So who are some of the greatest front women in rock and roll history and some of the coolest rock chicks? We got first Debbie Harry from Blondie. You can't, I mean, please. What are we talking about here? She's a legend. She's one of the coolest chicks in rock history. Blondie broke into the top 10 in 1978 with the album Parallel Lines, featuring the number one hit Heart of Glass. Harry's cool look and what Rolling Stone called a bombshell zombie's voice that is dreamily seductive. Debbie Harry was the new wave band's focal point and remained so all the way into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, deservedly so. And you ever see the movie Videodrome?
No, I can't say that I have.
The David Cronenberg movie. Before he became sort of like critically acclaimed, this was when he was still doing body horror. It was his follow-up to Scanners, Videodrome. A movie, by the way, way, way ahead of its time. Like, if you watch Videodrome now, in terms of, you know, what you see online and how people get completely mesmerized by the screen and everybody has a bunch of screen time, this movie was made, it was released in 1983, so it's VHS and big TVs. Because that was the technology then. But it's a very, very, it's a crazy movie. James Woods is the lead. And Debbie Harry's in it. And it's a really crazy, crazy performance in a crazy movie. I remember I went with my buddy Bob Hansford to see that movie. And it is a crazy movie. I don't recommend, if you are feeling really, really adventurous, and you're not easily offended, then I recommend that you see Videodrome, especially if you are kind of a fan of David Cronenberg, because I think it's one of his best and most interesting and craziest movies. But it's like 80 minutes long. It's really short, and it ends very abruptly, really abruptly. And I remember when it was over, it cuts to black, and Bob Hansford sitting next to me. Hey, thanks a lot for taking me to this thing. Like, because I insisted. I was like, hey, man, it's going to be great. He hated it. Anyway, Debbie Harry's really great in it. Next here, Janis Joplin from Big Brother and the Holding Company. A lot of people think that she's a solo act, and she was, but she was in Big Brother and the Holding Company. And again, she was the member of the 27 Club, of all the really incredible musicians who died at the age of 27. And that would include Hendrix, Jim Morrison. He was 20. Yeah, he's in the 27 Club. Janis Joplin, Kurt Cobain. Was Kurt Cobain 27?
Not sure.
I think Kurt Cobain was 27. So Janis Joplin, she was just amazing.
That's the one I would vote for as number one.
Oh, she was amazing. Yeah. She was unbelievable. I mean, incredible voice, great stage presence, could belt. How about this one? Stevie Nicks from Fleetwood Mac. From her Fleetwood Mac debut in 1975 to the group's upcoming 2018 tour, Stevie Nicks has held forth as the band's most singular presence. With her distinctive voice, mystical stage persona, and poetic songs, the now 70-year-old singer, oh my God, Stevie Nicks is 70? I'm telling you, I feel like I'm 93 years old. The 70-year-old singer played a central role in making Fleetwood Mac one of the best-selling music acts of all time. Though hugely successful as a solo artist, Stevie Nicks never left the Fleetwood crew, and being in a group of five really does keep your ego in place, she said. It's not as easy to get totally conceited when you're in a band. So Stevie Nicks considered a great front woman, and she is. I always, I don't know how that band stayed together for as long as they did. I really don't. And I know Lindsey Buckingham is not going to be with them on this tour, but I don't know how they stayed together. You know, like an album like Rumors, where everybody was sleeping with everybody and having an affair with everybody. I mean, I don't know how how a band stays together. I don't know how a band stays together. You know, people are cheating on everybody with their, you know, husbands and wives are cheating. Everybody's cheating on everybody, sleeping with everybody. The entire band is having sex, and then they make this album Rumors, which is, you know, really about that whole era. And then you would think an album that was like that, you know, sort of personal and revealing wouldn't sell as well as it did. But Rumors is like the biggest, one of the biggest albums of all time. It's one of those albums that I've said in the 70s, if the FBI busted into your house and checked your record collection, and if you didn't have Rumors, you'd go right to jail. The other ones would be like if Frampton Comes Alive. You have to have Frampton Comes Alive. Prison. Some of the other 70s ones. I'm trying to remember some of the other essential 70s records that you had to have or you would go right to jail. But Rumors is right near the top. Every single person on the planet had that album. Hotel California is another one. Everybody had Hotel California. Even I did, and I hate the Eagles. I think I had it from peer pressure because everybody else had Hotel California, and I can't stand the Eagles. I hate the Eagles. Hey, more of the great front women in rock and just cool rock chicks as well who maybe didn't front a band but were solo artists. Like Lita Ford, for instance. Lita Ford. Well, wait a minute. Lita Ford was in the Runaways. But yeah. She wasn't the front woman in the Runaways.
Five or six people have texted in Lita Ford.
Yeah, Lita Ford. Well, I mean, I guess because she was in the Runaways, but she wasn't. Was there really a front woman? Was it Sherry? It was Sherry. Yeah.
I would say Sherry, yeah.
Okay. Even though Joan Jett went on. From the Blackhearts. She's a front woman. Boy, she's the best. Man, Joan Jett rules. All right, we'll get to that in a little bit. Cool rock chicks, man. All right, we got to take a break here. We got weather and we got traffic. There it is, man. Wildcard Wednesday continues. You mean Wildcard Wednesday? 312-981-7200. Christina picking Harry Nilsson with Lime and the Coconut. So, of course, makes me think of Reservoir Dogs every time I hear it. It's one of those things where... You know how even if a song's been around for many, many years, you think of a certain movie, like, every time you hear it. It's weird how that happens. It's really weird. So, all right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're talking about some of the greatest front women in rock and roll and cool rock chicks in general. And if you want to jump in with your talk or text, it's 312-981-7200. How about this? Tina Turner from the Ike and Tina Turner Review. Obviously, she had a massive solo career. Still does, but she got her start in her jerk husband's review. Though Ike Turner gave himself lead billing, it was, by all accounts, awful. He was savvy enough band leader to recognize that former Anna Mae Bullock of Nutbush, Tennessee, was everything. Tina Turner could out-sing and out-dance all of her competitors, even Mick Jagger. Melissa Etheridge says... You can't say she's soul, R&B, rock and roll. She's all of it. She can squeeze passion from any line. Tina Turner, man. And she's also in Beyond Thunderdome. So they're right there. Welcome to Thunderdome. She wore like a 70-pound head dressing in that movie. Rules. All right. Here's Mike on WGN. Hey, Mike.
Hi there. You're missing one legendary female that all of us baby boomers grew up with, Grace Slick.
Yeah, she's here. She's in the article.
Undeniable. Yep. I saw her in concert once. It was the Bicentennial, 4th of July of 76 with the Jefferson Starship. And I got a very funny but a stupid story about Janis Joplin that shows how ignorant the truly young people are of today. You want to hear it?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, I know you weren't expecting any stories about the ignorance of people born in the 90s or after. Okay. My mom lives in the middle of Wisconsin. A few months ago, I was visiting her, and I was sitting in this really cool restaurant / pub, and they got this classic rock station on the PA system, and they played Peace of My Heart by Big Brother and the Holding Company. And the waitress I had was like 18 or 19, quite young. And I said to her when the song was over, that girl can scream the blues better than any white girl before her or since. And she looks at me and says, girl, I thought that was a guy. Well, she never heard of Janis Joplin.
Yeah, well, a guy wrote that song. So,
And I asked her if she ever heard White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane. She never heard of it.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I can't, I don't want to say, I don't want to classify everybody as being ignorant or stupid. You know, if you're 18, I don't think necessarily you're going to go for Jefferson. You're going to go for Jefferson Airplane right away. If you're an 18-year-old kid now in 2018, you have to discover Janis Joplin. You're not going to get a lot of exposure to Janis Joplin. You know, Joplin. Fair, you want to be fair. That's why you got like a 16, 17-year-old kid, play some stuff for him. That's the only way they're going to find it. They're not going to turn on TV or, you know, or go on the internet unless they seek it out. They're not going to be exposed to people like Janis Joplin or Jefferson Airplane or Grace Slick or anything like that. So it's not necessarily their fault. So anyway, thank you, Mike, for the call. And speaking of Grace Slick, singing such early Jefferson Airplane hits like Somebody to Love and White Rabbit, Grace Slick stands as one of rock's first band-fronting divas. She's a former model. She commanded the stage with her powerful, distinctive voice. And she opened up new worlds for women in music. But see, here's the thing. I love Grace Slick. I love her. I do. But she sings on We Built This City. So I'm sorry. But that's an issue. I realize that that's not the same thing as Jefferson Airplane. Some of the same people were in that band, in that version of Starship. But she sings on We Built This City. That's not good. That's not good. Keith in Kansas and Billy says Christy Hines from The Tenders is my favorite. Here's a question that I have. This is a question that I have, Dan, about a concert that took place this past Saturday.
Okay.
Because I think personally, I think Christy Hines is the coolest chick in rock and roll. I have always thought that. I thought she's the coolest chick in rock and roll, best front woman in rock. I love Christy Hines and coolest chick in rock. I was unaware there was a little concert at Wrigley Field on Saturday. I don't know if you heard about it.
Yeah, once or twice, seen it at Bellbird.
Journey, Def Leppard. Were you aware that the Pretenders was on that bill?
What?
And they opened for those two bands? I'm like, are you kidding me? The Pretenders opened for Journey and Def Leppard. Def Leppard headlined. Journey was second. The Pretenders were first. The Pretenders played with the sun up. They were playing on the stage at Wrigley, and it was light out. That's not right.
No.
That is not right. My parents were like, yeah, the Pretenders are playing with them. And I'm like, no, they're not. and they're like, yeah, the Pretenders are playing with Journey. And I kept telling them they're wrong. And then that night, because we were going to see The Rock Hanging from the Building movie. And they were insisting, because I was like, yeah, because it was drizzly on Saturday. And I'm like, wow, they got the concert over at Wrigley tonight. And I'm like, yeah, Journey and Def Leppard. And my parents are like, yeah, and the Pretenders. And my dad's like, and the Pretenders. I'm like, the Pretenders aren't playing. So I looked it up on my phone, and it didn't list the Pretenders. They weren't listed anywhere.
Right.
And then people on my news feed who were there start posting pictures of the Pretenders. And I'm like, I can't. How in God's name did they open for those two bands?
That is shocking.
It's ridiculous. God. Now, have you ever seen the Pretenders?
I have never seen
them. Oh, my God. They're so good. And then they're playing 40 minutes during the daylight when half the crowd probably wasn't even there.
Right.
That's the other thing. Is
looking for their seats.
Looking for their seats, a blowing weed, not paying attention. Half the crowd is not even there. They should play to a packed Wrigley Field at night. That's how the Pretenders should play. Chrissy Hynde should be rocking that crowd at like 10 o'clock at night, full, 45,000 people involved. That's absurd. Anyway, about Chrissy Hynde, here's what they say. Formed by Chrissy Hynde in 1978, the Pretenders had a ton of lineup changes, but the one constant has been Hynde. With her take-no-prisoners approach and her zen beatnik punk biker chick style, As a Pretender's original voice, Hind consciously avoided formal music instruction, saying that distinctive voices in rock are trained through many years of things. That would be frustration, fear, loneliness, anger, insecurity, arrogance, narcissism, or just plain sheer perseverance. Anything but a teacher, is what she's quoted as saying. Chrissy Hind, coolest chick in rock. Yeah, I when I heard about that, I was like, you got to be kidding me. All right, anyway. 630 area code, Annie Lennox. Good one, not on here. Not in this article. Annie Lennox of Eurythmics. You want to talk about incredible voice, great presence, great songwriter? She had a great solo career as well, obviously, but she'll always be like the lead of Eurythmics. Why am I blanking on the name? Squat says Kathy Richardson. She sang on Steve and Johnny a lot. Tremendous talent. Sang with Starship. She sang with Starship?
Yep.
She did? She sang We Built This City, I would imagine, in concert.
Probably, yeah. She had a funny story about she met Grace Slick at a party once, and they were just talking, and she had to, like, awkward be like, yeah, so I sing with Starship now. And, like, Grace Slick was
really
cool about
it. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. 331 says, Ed McMahon's pronunciation of Pat Benatar's name when she appeared on The Tonight Show was Pat Ben Otter. Pat Ben Otter. Well, nobody ever said that Ed McMahon was hip to what the kids were listening to. We'll take a break. More rock chicks and great front women in music coming up right after the news, which is next. Dan and Marengo requesting the Coasters with Yakety Yak. Don't talk back. Yeah! Wildcard Wednesday. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. How's it going, everybody? It is Wednesday morning. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are talking about cool rock chicks, some of the great female front women in bands and rock and stuff like that. And we got a bunch of texts coming in. If you guys want to join us, talk or text 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We are here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has your opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here, more, a couple more texts, and we'll get back to some of the other great front women in rock. It's 847 area code. Says Mama Cass. Yes, from the Mamas and the Papas. 708 area code. Cher and Tina Turner have to be two of the most powerful female vocalists that never slowed a beat in their well into their 60s. I think Cher is 70. Cher, who, by the way, is in this damn Mama movie. And she plays Meryl Streep's mother. How is... Because she's like Amanda Seyfried's like grandmother. She shows up because, you know, Cher's in it. Because that movie doesn't already appeal to a gay audience. So they wanted to make sure that it did appeal to a gay audience. So they added Cher to the mix. So, anyway, can we find out how old is Cher and how old is Meryl Streep? This is like Sally Field and Tom Hanks. You know, I just showed Forrest Gump a couple of weeks ago at my film club last week, and they're like a couple of years apart, and she played his mother. So now Cher is playing Meryl Streep's mother in the Mamma Mia movie. It's ridiculous. So, yeah, because I think Cher is 70, and I think Meryl Streep is, like, is she younger? Maybe?
I would guess that she's younger.
Yeah. I mean, she's got to be younger, right? So she would be, like, maybe six, but she's in her 60s. So I think Cher would have had to have been 4 when she had Meryl Streep, according to the logic of this Mamma Mia movie.
All of my computers are not working.
Oh, okay.
So
all right. We'll try and keep going here.
Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned. We'll find out how old Cher and Meryl Streep is. It's very important to the believability of Mamma Mia, Let's Go and Do It Again, or whatever the hell it's called. 815 area code, Terry Nunn from Berlin. That's a good one. Good choice, 815. Terry Nunn's awesome from Berlin. 815 area code also says, hey, Nick, don't forget about Nancy Sinatra. I can't believe she's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. 312 area code, Danita Sparks from the band L7. She's great. That band is great, too. That band is terrific. She's an awesome rock chick. She's from Chicago. Once worked at White Castle. What? And they still kick ass playing live shows. I know they just played here. That L7 just played here. I saw them at Lollapalooza many, many years ago, and they were great. She used to work at White Castle. Do we know which one? 312 area code? Do we know which White Castle? Did she work at the one at Addison and Kedzie? Because that would be pretty cool. She may have served me at some point.
Cher is 72, Meryl Streep is 69.
Okay, so she was 3. So Cher was 3 when she had Meryl Streep, according to this Mamma Mia Part 9. There you go. You know, I'm surprised Cher didn't balk at that. You know what I mean? Like, say, I'm not going to play Meryl Streep's mother. I'm only 3 years older than she is. 773 area code says the Wilson sisters, Anne and Nancy from Heart. Well, you know, technically Anne is the front woman in that band, and Nancy's awesome, but Anne is the front woman in that band, and she has one of the greatest rock and roll voices in history, and of either sex, one of the greatest voices in rock and roll history, Anne Wilson. And she's here. She's in this part right here, Anne Wilson. Anne Wilson's father used to entertain his children by playing opera records with him acting as conductor in the living room. And it must have rubbed off because Heart's lead singer is the Maria Callas of rock, with a powerful, rich, dramatic soprano that can cut through the heaviest of metal, leading the band through 4 decades of success and shifting lineups with a few solo projects thrown in. Wilson continues to embrace the all-for-one group concept. She's amazing. Anne Wilson. Unbelievable. I remember, you know, when they first hit the scene, when Heart first hit the scene in the 70s, you know, with Barracuda and all, you know, and the other 70s hits that they had, Dreamboat Annie and all that stuff. You know, they were like rock chicks. But then when that album, the self-titled album, came out, like in 85, and they tried to... You know, it's like there was a concerted effort to try to sell the band to, you know, younger listeners and younger viewers, more importantly, when, you know, because videos at that point were huge. And they boofed out their hair, like total, you know, when you, in the 80s, when hair was really, really tall and teased out, and they would use 15 cans of Aquanet to keep it big and poofy. Heart had the biggest hair, like in that 80s period, in those videos. And there was a concerted effort on the part of the management and the record labels and stuff and the producers to put Anne on the back shelf because Anne had gained some weight. Anne gained weight, and Nancy, you know, was still like thin and svelte. So they put her in a bunch of bustiers, pushed her boobs up. And they both had crazy big hair, and they, you know, they specifically talked about this. Anne and Nancy Wilson talked about this, about how they tried to completely objectify Nancy and try to hide Anne under big clothing and tighter close-ups on her to not show her body. And it put a real strain on the relationship between the sisters, and it put a strain on the band too. Now, that at that time, that was the most records they ever sold, was in 85, when These Dreams was on that, and Never was on that. I mean, they had 5 or 6 hits off of that one single album, and they had that visual thing happening where they clearly were being manipulated to look a certain way and act a certain way and to show Nancy's cleavage and to not show Anne because she had gained weight. It was terrible, and they decided they were never going to do that again. Like, after that had happened, you know, they would be on equal ground, as they should have been from the beginning. But yeah, I remember reading that, or you know what it was? It was Behind the Music, Dan. It was the Behind the Music where they interviewed them about that stretch of time when there was a big stress between their relationship, because of what was happening in terms of the people behind the scenes trying to manipulate their career. And Anne was really hurt by it, as well she should be. Really one of the greatest front women in rock and one of the greatest voices in general in rock and roll history. Morons. All right. Hey, Linda Ronstadt. She had a birthday the other day. We celebrated that. She was the lead singer of the Stone Posies, and she appeared with the Eagles quite a bit, too. She has a great voice. With her powerhouse voice and 70 Cupid doll looks, it was inevitable that Linda Ronstadt would find her greatest success as a soloist. Even the manager of her first group, the Stone Ponies, told the band, "I can get your chick singer recorded, but I don't know about the rest of you guys." Oh, man. Still, the Ponies stuck together for 3 albums. The last one featured only Ronstadt on the cover. She was also instrumental in the formation of the Eagles, first bringing them together as her backing band before mutually agreeing that the group was good enough to go on there on alone. As was Ronstadt, who went on to be one of rock's biggest female soloists, she had 6 platinum albums. Wow, I didn't know she had that many. Wow. I mean, I knew she was big and she was popular, but 6 platinum albums. That's impressive. No mention of Jerry Brown in this little bio. Patti Smith from the Patti Smith Group, called the punk poet laureate. Patti Smith began her band's debut LP, Horses, with a scorching 5-minute 57 reworking of Van Morrison's Gloria. From there, the album exploded, giving us, as Smith put it, a 3-chord rock merged with the power of word, combining the ethos of New York's underground art world with poetry and punk rock. She was a howling mad beast, says REM's Michael Stipe. Yeah, Patti Smith. Incredible. Incredible. And also, I just would like to mention that the character that Gilda Radner played on Saturday Night Live was not her. I can't remember what her character's name was. It was Takeoff on. She was clearly doing Patti Smith, the same sort of like outfit, hair under her arms, the whole kind of look. But she wasn't Patti Smith. She had I can't remember what the character's name was. Is your computer working now?
Nope.
That's fantastic.
What do you need to look up?
What was the character's name that Gilda Radner? What was her name? It was the Patti Smith knockoff character, and it wasn't Patti Smith. She had a name, and I can't remember what it was. But she did it several times. It was a recurring character, and it was clearly based on Patti Smith because she was punk rocker. She dressed like Patti Smith, looked like her, sang like her, but the character was not Patti Smith. And I can't remember what it was.
She parodied celebrities such as Lucille Ball, Patti Smith, and Olga Corbett in SNL sketches.
But
this is out of Wikipedia.
Right, but she wasn't Patti Smith. It wasn't the
Candy Slice.
Candy Slice, that's it.
Okay.
That's it, Candy Slice. That was her name, but it was clearly Patti Smith. If you look at a picture of Gilda Radner, if you look up Gilda Radner Candy Slice and you look up Google's video, an image search, you look up that and you look up Patti Smith and look at I'm she's clearly doing Patti Smith, who, yes, also great front woman. All right, we're talking about great rock chicks and front women in music. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for Talk and Text. We'd love you to join us here. Appropriately enough to end Wildcard Wednesday. 773 area code requesting some Janis Joplin with Peace of My Heart, and we're talking about great lead women, front women in rock and roll, and great rock chicks. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. We got a few more to talk about here. I would like to mention one that is actually mentioned in this article that we're talking about. She's one of my favorites, and I think she's cool as hell. I think she's incredibly adorable and attractive and has an unbelievable voice, and that's Dolores O'Riordan from the Cranberries. I love her. I happen to have a weakness for the Irish accent. I will mention that, as you know, Dan.
I have heard that before.
I think the Irish accent is the, without question, the sexiest accent in the world. Even when Colin Farrell talks, I melt. That's just the way it is. I can't. Saoirse Ronan, I have a hard time not falling off the couch when she speaks. It's just the best accent ever. And she's got that. Dolores has got that. And she can sing, man. Yeah, have you ever seen the Cranberries?
Net live. No.
Oh, man. Though the Cranberries' music was labeled everything from post-punk to indie pop to pop rock, it all sprung out of lead singer Dolores O'Riordan's firmly planted Irish roots, strongly influenced by the traditional Celtic music she heard as a child and never losing her own Limerick accent. She always had the voice of an old soul, wrote one critic after her sudden death in January of 2018. Her voice raises your hair like the electricity of a gathering storm. Yeah, she passed away. I mean... She was amazing, man. She was amazing. Her voice. Incredible. So I wanted to mention, I'm going to make sure that she got mentioned, because she, unbelievable. 316 area code said, Natalie Merchant is my second. Oh, she's not on here. Natalie Merchant's not mentioned.
No. That's surprising.
It's very surprising. Lead singer of 10,000 Maniacs, and she went on to a good solo career. She's good. Good singer, good voice. They did a cover of Peace Train, right? Am I nuts? Didn't the 10,000 Maniacs do a cover of Peace Train? The Cat Stevens song.
Yes, you are correct.
Okay, that's what I thought. I thought they had a pretty big hit with it, too, if I'm not mistaken. 708 area code says, some contemporary front women. Evanescence's Amy Lee. Yeah, people love her. And Paramore's Hayley Williams. Hey, what about Haim?
Oh, yeah.
What about Haim? Now, which Haim is the lead? Who would be the front Haim? Because the bass player is the loon. The bass player is the loon. I don't know what's going on with her. I don't know what's happening when she's playing music. But you look. Have you ever seen like the facial?
Only after you after pointed it out.
Yeah, the facial contortionist that is Haim's bass player. I don't know which Haim she is. But
that would be Esty.
Okay, she's the lunatic Haim. Or is she the lead Haim?
She's the bass guitar.
Okay, Haim. So it's bass guitar. She's the loon. If you ever watch Haim perform, or if you look it up online, and just look up facial expressions on Haim bass player, I don't know what's happening. I think at some point she gets possessed by a demon halfway through, and just that's what's going on. But people enjoy the Haim.
I do.
I like Corey Haim. Hold on a minute now. Wait a minute.
I think that's a record for the night, isn't it? Three times you did it?
Oh, no. I've done it more than, trust okay. me, that's not yeah. even close.
Well, I haven't hung out with you on nights.
Not even close to a record.
Sorry.
Peter in Decatur said, women rockers, Diana Ross before was just the Supremes, then Diana Ross and the Supremes. That's true. That's absolutely true. 815 area code, St. Vincent is one of the best solo female rockers out there. She's so unique. I agree. I think she's great.
She's one of those people that can see various things in color.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, like that sense of, you know.
Yeah. She's cool, man.
She's very cool.
Yeah, she's great. I really like her. They do have Diana Ross as mentioned here. Selected for stardom from the very beginning by Motown mogul Berry Gordy, Diana Ross was always the principal focus of the Supremes. Even before their girls' group records, they were labeled Diana Ross and the Supremes, as was mentioned. With a silky voice that could express both youthful verve and sweet sadness, Ross led the Supremes to a record-setting 12 number one singles in the Billboard Hot 100, including Baby Love, Where Did Our Love Go, Stop in the Name of Love, and You Keep Me Hanging On. God, if you look at you look at those numbers, 12 number one songs. It's amazing. Then we've got Joan Jett, who leader of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. She's just fantastic. Joan Jett took her first guitar lesson at the age of 13, demanding that her instructor teach her how to play rock and roll. After he handed her a folk song, she quit. She was always ready to rumble. Jett's a great singer and a great guitarist, one of just two women to make Rolling Stone's 100 Greatest Guitarists of All Time list. Known as the godmother of punk and the original Riot Girl, Jett helped redefine the role of women in rock by fronting the Blackhearts with a guitar draped over her hips, a defiant attitude, and a leather uniform. As she once said, for guitar-playing girls, this is important. Don't listen to what people tell you. You may run into people saying that girls don't play guitar, but just screw all that and keep at it. And Kristen Stewart played her in the movie, in the Runaways. You know what was really cool about that is that she was essentially on set all the time and was hanging out with Kristen Stewart.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, they were hanging out together all the time when they were shooting the movie. And Sherry Curry was on set as well. And I believe she was an executive producer. I think they were both executive producers on it. I just wish the movie were better. You know? I liked it. It was okay. Michael Shannon was fantastic
in
it.
So good in that movie.
Yeah. But I was a little disappointed. I expected a little bit more. I think their story deserved a little bit of, you know, a better movie. But I think all the girls were good in it. How about this? Ronnie Spector and the Ronettes.
Now, there's a voice.
Great voice.
Oh, my gosh.
Great voice. In 1963, a girl group called the Darling Sisters auditioned for Phil Spector. When they began to sing, the legendary and now infamous record producer shouted, "That's it. That's the voice I've been looking for." That voice belonged to lead singer Veronica Bennett, Spector's future wife, now known as Ronnie Spector, with a quick succession of hits. From Be My Baby to Walking in the Rain, the sweet but tough Ronnie Spector became a defining sound of the early 60s. I had a perfect voice, she once said, not bragging, just stating the plain truth. It wasn't a black voice, it wasn't a white voice, it was just a great voice. And also, you know, we can't forget her fantastic work with Eddie Money.
Oh, yeah. Take Me Home Tonight.
Take Me Home Tonight, just like Ronnie said. Yeah. That
just
kind
like
of...
Ronnie said.
Yeah. But you know what's amazing about that is that that song that Be My, or what the hell is it called again? Take Me Home Tonight.
Take Me Home Tonight. That was the first time I had ever heard her voice.
See, that's the thing.
Yep.
Was that it introduced a bunch of people to her, and her record sales shot up.
Yep.
Like the record sales of the Ronettes. Like they actually shot up because people were like, who is this? Who's singing with Eddie Money? That was a genius move putting her on that record.
Mm-hmm.
For both of them, because it was a big hit for Eddie Money. You know, anytime you get to work with her, that's a thrill. And then her career got a second helping there. And I think, in fact, was one of those deals where not only did her record sales go up because of that song, and I think she went on like a successful reunion tour. Like they did, like, you know, there was so much interest. It was like when the Monkees in the mid 80s.
Oh, sure.
When they started showing the Monkees on MTV, the TV show, over and over and over again, exposing young people to the Monkees and never heard of them before. They went on tour, except for Nesmith. They went on tour. So they've also got here really quickly, Gwen Stefani from No Doubt is on here. Beyonce from Destiny's Child. Was she really the...
Yeah, she was.
She was? Because I thought, didn't all three of them...
Yeah, but, you know, everybody knew.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of like NSYNC where, like, everybody had equal billing, but we all knew what was going on.
But you knew JT was really the guy.
Yeah.
All right, and then finally, I want to mention Courtney Love. I love her. I know everybody can't stand her. I love her. I think she's one of the greatest front women in rock. And Courtney Love's work with Hole was often overshadowed by her personal life, her marriage to Kurt Cobain, her battles with drug and alcohol addiction. But Hole was one of the most commercially successful female-fronted bands of the 90s, thanks to Love's gut-wrenching vocals, confrontational stage presence, and powerful pop-punk songs. Love said, "I want every girl in the world to pick up a guitar and start screaming." So, I love Courtney Love, and I make no apologies for it. I think she's great, absolutely great. All right, we're going to take a break here, and the news is coming up next, followed by the opening bell, and we'll be back tomorrow.